Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. My guest today is the director of the National Equine Forum. Her name's Georgina Crossman, and we are talking about what's going on at the forum on Thursday, the 7th of March. You don't want to miss it. It's a time when the top industry experts get together and talk about how we're going to shape the future of our industry. This is Horse Hour. Welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. Now, one of my favourite events is just around the corner. It's the National Equine Forum. And it's when a group of over 100 of the top experts in the industry get together and talk about the future of the equestrian industry in the UK and how really how things are going to affect us. You know, we talk about Brexit, we're talking about equine flu. There's all sorts of things that affect us when we're looking after our horses day to day. So I'm pleased to welcome Georgina Crossman, who's a director of the National Equine Forum. How are you, George?
Hey, Amy. It's lovely to speak to you again. I'm good, thank you. I hope you're well and your lovely listeners are too.
Oh, we are. We are very well. I think most of us have managed to survive the flu, touch wood. And are your horses okay?
Yes, my little chap is fine. I only have one at the moment, just a little rescue pony, but he is all good at the moment.
It's been really scary, hasn't it? Everyone went into a panic, and understandably.
Yes, I think so. And I think it's a real wake-up call, really, because, you know, biosecurity is very important and it's very key for the equine sector as a whole. So everybody who's involved to understand what they need to do to make sure that they're being safe around their horses.
It is important. And I like the fact that there were I saw lots of photos and videos on Facebook of farriers and vets that were being super, I don't want to say security conscious really, but super biosecurity conscious. And they were cleaning their feet in between their own feet, their own wellies, and disinfecting their hands and things in between each customer and each horse. And it's sad that something like an outbreak can lead us to that, but also it's good to see that those sort of practices are happening.
Yes, it's really good, and just making sure that everybody is really up to date with their vaccinations for their horses as well. All of those things can help, even if the vaccination strain isn't included within what's being used by vets at the moment. It can help horses, so it's really key that people understand that.
And this is one of the things that you guys are going to be talking about at the forum this year. Can you tell us the date? When's the forum taking place?
So the forum takes place next Thursday, 7th of March, and it takes place in London. It starts at 10 o'clock and we finish at around 4:30.
Now, you're sold out of tickets, but that doesn't matter because we can still watch, can't we?
You can indeed. For the second year, we are live streaming the event, which is brilliant. People don't need to register, but they can register. We will put a link out on our Facebook page and through our social media and on our website as well. If people register, they will get emailed a copy of the programme on the morning of the event. And they'll also be able to give us some feedback afterwards. But as I say, you don't have to register. You can just pick up the link from the website and social media on the day.
And I think that's amazing because you sell out of tickets so far in advance and so quickly. You had some additional tickets available this year. Were they just for the afternoon event?
Yeah, so this year we've introduced some afternoon education tickets. So basically what we want to do is to encourage students within the sector, so people studying equine or equine related courses, and it's particularly for final year undergraduates, postgraduates and also lecturers if they would like to come along. But it's only for the afternoon. Unfortunately, they can't get involved in lunch or any of that side of things. They can come in from about 2 o'clock And then come in and enjoy the afternoon with us.
Well, the morning session is really heavy. We've got Defra there. Lord Gardner of Kimball is going to be talking. We're talking about EU exit and, you know, what's going to happen for us then. What does it mean? Because all these things sound like they won't impact on us because they sound so quite far away, but actually they're not that far away. So can we go through the programme now as to who's going to be talking about what, and also how can we watch when this is all, you know, even if we don't have a copy of the programme, is it via your website?
Yeah, there will be a link on our website, and it's also going out via Equestrian Pro TV and Clip My Horse. So any of those ways, if you log on, you should be able to see it. And it's all free. You don't have to have a subscription anywhere. And we will also post the link out on our social media on the day as well. In addition to that, there will be some places where we're able to take questions from social media. So obviously they'll need to be moderated. But if anybody has a question, burning question, use our social media channels to put those through. And we will do our best to try and get some questions asked that come in through social media.
Amazing. So the theme for the beginning is the horse industry in a changing world. And your first speaker is the Defra Review, Lord Gardner. But can we just start with explaining what Defra are? I mean, we know that they're the government, but what part of the government?
So Defra looks after the environment. So the title stands for the Department of Environment, Food and Rural Affairs. And it's where the horse kind of sits within the government. There is also some overlap with another department, which is DCMS, which is the Department for Culture, Media and Sports, and that deals with racing and that side of things. But really, in terms of actually for the grassroots person, Defra is where the responsibility is held for equine identification, equine movement and that side of things. So it's really important that those people are able to come and talk to us on the day and actually be able to get their messages out and also listen to what the industry has to say as well, because they do take questions and they are there to listen.
Brilliant. Okay. And then following then we have Pamela Thompson. Where's Pamela from?
Pamela Thompson is a Deputy Director for Portfolio and Preparedness for Defra, and she's working very much on making sure that we are prepared when it comes to EU exit or Brexit in terms of horse movements in and out of the country.
Now, interestingly, that's really who's that going to affect? Is that's going to affect the top, 10% of people that are competing and going abroad, maybe potentially importing new horses?
Yes, it's people who could be buying a horse from Ireland, for example, or buying a horse from the continent, maybe from France. So it's basically the impact that they will have with them. And we have people coming from Ireland actually to the forum who are concerned about how this might affect their business in terms of horses going backwards and forwards between here and Ireland.
I never thought of that, because when we think of EU, I kind of think of Spain and France and Italy, and I thought, well, that's not going to affect us much, but actually Ireland is, isn't it?
Ireland's very important. Yeah.
Okay, so then after that, we're talking about the Central Equine Database, which I love hearing about this database because we've been talking about it for a while. And it's, well, you explain, what's the Equine Database?
Yes, the Central Equine Database has been around and talked about, as you said, for a little while. And basically, the session this year is going to very much explain how it's all come together and how it's working. So it's a requirement for us to have a database, an EU requirement for us to have a database of horses. So basically an understanding of the horse population of this country. And Stuart and the following three speakers, so David Mountford, Eva Broomer and Nick de Brouwer, are going to talk about actually how it's being used and how it can be used. So it's very important that we as a horse owning kind of population are making sure that our data is up to date, that our horses are recorded correctly, so that we own the horses that we actually own and that we've got their food status recorded and all those sorts of things. And basically this session, so we've got half an hour or so for this, is going to go through and talk about all of these things and explain how the CED is working.
I'm particularly interested to hear from Dr. Eva Maria Bruma, because she works for the Anglo-European stud book. So being really selfish, I have a horse that's in that book. And I do find it fascinating to hear how the different stud, because they have different requirements. Each stud book has a different requirement for how you get a passport. And so I think hers will be quite interesting.
So Eva's from the Anglo-European stud book, which is a PIO, which is a passport issuing organisation. And she's actually giving the view of a PIO as a whole, the PIOs as a whole. So not just from the AES point of view, but PIOs as a whole, about how the Central Equine Database can be used to help them keep their data clean and make sure that it's kept up to date. And that's really important, because we have a lot of PIOs in this country, and making sure that we're giving them the ability to actually look after their data is really key.
Does she tell us what we need to do as horse owners as well, and how we can support that data?
Yeah, she will explain, or the whole kind of session will explain how, as a horse owner, you can actually go on and you can take control of your data through what's called the digital stable. So you could have a digital stable of your horses, of your animals, and then actually how you can get involved with making sure that everything is up to date. For example, if you sold a horse, you can say that you're no longer the owner of it. Equally, if you bought a horse, then you might want to use the chip checker, which is publicly available, to just actually make sure that you've got the right animal and the right details.
Amazing. So is this available now, George? Can we actually log on and do this now?
You need to head to Equine Register's website. So that's equineregister.co.uk. And all the information is on there about the digital stable. You can register your interest in that. You can also look and use the National Equine Chip Checker if you want to. And there's some information on there about what to do if there is no microchip in the horse. And this really, really good portal that's got a lot of stuff on it, which will be explained in more detail at the forum on the 7th of March.
Well, I'm going to go and register my interest now so that when it goes live, we can be the first to find out about it. Because it's brilliant. The website says there's 1.2 million managed equine records and 81 passport issuing organisations. So that is an awful lot of data to be able to collate and keep track of, to make sure that our horses are safe. If they get stolen, it should be easier to find them potentially.
Yes, there are lots of use for it. So if a horse is stolen, but also if a horse goes out on loan and is then sold on and it shouldn't have been, there's all sorts of ways in which it can be helpful. And we'll also hear as well how it can be helpful in terms of disease surveillance. So with equine flu on everybody's mind, that's really, really important as well.
And that brings us to the next morning session, which is the equine health update. Who's going to be talking about equine flu?
So we've got two speakers here, and the key speaker is Dr. Richard Newton from the Animal Health Trust. Some of your listeners may have seen him on the television talking about, in the reports, about equine flu and about what the Animal Health Trust has been doing in terms of surveillance. So he's going to be talking basically about learnings from the equine influenza outbreak and how we can take things forwards in the future, because this may just be a practice for a future time when we're hit by something worse. Flu is not a notifiable disease. So DEFRA and that sort of type of organisation, the government doesn't need to get involved. But if we actually have a notifiable disease come into this country, then we need to know what we're doing, really. So it's very important. His message is very important. And then we've got Jane Nixon from the British Equestrian Federation talking about the BEF's High Health Steering Group. So she's very much talking about actually how we can move things forward. And the focus has been very much on the racing sector in the media, but actually in terms of the non-racing sector, is also very important for all horses. So actually, what can we do for it, for us and for our horse population?
I was really surprised to hear how many horses are not vaccinated. It was something like, don't quote me, I should remember statistics, I mean, not great, but something like 70% of horses are not vaccinated.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's quite a large proportion, and I think one of the things Richard in particular will touch on is herd immunity. And we don't have a high enough level of herd immunity, therefore the horses that are vaccinated, to be able to withstand kind of quite a big, you know, an outbreak of equine influenza. So I think that stat is a key stat, and actually how people look at that going forwards in terms of looking after their horses is a significant thing really for the sector as a whole.
And then so from that takes you up to about 11:30, doesn't it, of the morning sessions, which, like I said, it's heavy first thing, but we need it. Time for a break then, I think, cup of tea and some biscuits, followed by you're talking racing with Dr. David Sykes. So what does Dr. David Sykes do?
So David is a director of equine health and welfare at the British Horse Racing Authority, and his session is really going to look at the ongoing racing welfare initiatives. It will link back to some of the stuff we've done earlier in the morning, looking at the central equine database and also, of course, looking at equine flu as well. So it'll be interesting to kind of see that all together in terms of the racing sector.
Amazing. And then we go into the lunchtime session, which is one of my favourite bits. It's the panel discussion where you get four of just incredibly talented and experienced people who discuss various subjects. Last year it was about small businesses. What's the discussion this year?
This year we're talking about how charities fit into the modern world. So we have quite a lot of charities in the sector. We have quite a few equine welfare charities, but we also have other charities, for example, Riding for the Disabled Association and education charities, which also are really key to the development of the sector, and they really support the sector as well.
Oh, who's on the panel this year?
So we've got Jeanette Allen, who's Chief Executive Officer of the Horse Trust, and she's also on the British Horse Council. We've got Ed Bracher, who's the Chief Executive of Riding for the Disabled, Emile Fauré, who is the founder of the Emile Fauré Foundation, and Professor Tim Greet, who is the Chair of SPANA.
I think Emile would be fascinating to hear from because he is a professional rider and coach himself, as well as being a charity. So he can look at it from both kind of angles, can't he?
Yes. I mean, we've got a good kind of range there, because we've got the Horse Trust, which is obviously an equine welfare charity that's based in the UK and operates in the UK. We've got Tim Greet from SPANA, which is based in the UK but operates internationally. And then we've got the RDA with Ed Bracher, which is obviously a country-wide charity with an awful lot of volunteers who do stuff on a very regular basis to help support them. And then also Emil, who again works with the BHS, but is also his own foundation in trying to help disadvantaged children.
I mean, they've all done remarkably well over the last few years, but for me, just from an outsider, I guess, I think Riding for the Disabled is the one that has managed to crack it over these last few years, because it feels like they've come out of nowhere. They've been going for a really long time, but the amount of publicity that they're getting, the support that they're getting, the nationwide recognition that they deserve, I think if Ed had a strategy, I want to know what that strategy was, because it's working.
Yeah, the RDA is an amazing charity, and so many of our para riders as well have come through the RDA, which is, you know, a great thing for him to be able to say. And I just think they do so much good in the sector as a whole.
Totally agree. So We're now on, I mean, that's all a lot. I mean, that you basically could fill a whole day with that, I think. But that's just pretty much the morning and lunchtime sessions. Then in the afternoon, we're around about 2 o'clock, 2:30. So if you're at work, you're going to need to, if you're at work and you're watching it online, you're going to need to probably put up your laptop quietly so that people can't see, because there's so much in the afternoon. Basically, it's about horse and rider fitness, isn't it, for the beginning?
Yes, so we've got a session at the beginning which is themed, which I'm really excited about, which is looking at horse and rider fitness. We've got some amazing speakers. So we've got David Marlin basically talking about the general principles of exercise training and fitness and what you need to do to make sure that your horse is fit. And then Rachel Murray from the Animal Health Trust is going to talk about how you can actually do that in terms of core stability and muscle development, and how that helps the horse. But in terms of training, how you might not realise that your horse is fatigued and therefore can't do things when it gets to a fatigued point. So that's really important. And then Ashley Wallace, who works for the World Class Programme at the British Equestrian Federation, she's a physio. She is then going to talk about the rider's fitness and its influence on the equine. And they've done some work looking at elite riders, whereby they've looked at kind of their fitness and their crookedness, their straightness. And actually, there's a lot of things there that can be transferred down. You don't have to be an elite level rider. They're relevant for you, whatever level you're at. So it's a really interesting session, and I think everybody's going to be able to take a lot home from it.
Now, we're getting on to the speakers that I've had the pleasure of talking to, and that you can hear on the Horse Hour podcast. So as each speaker goes on to talk at the National Equine Forum, at the same time, their podcast episode will be available. So you can actually listen to what they're going to be talking about, and watching what they can talk about. I mean, there's so many different ways to find out the education and hear this education. It's brilliant this year. So Ashley, I've had a great chat with Ashley Wallace, Dr. David Marlin, and then next, next up is Dr. Andrew Hemmings, who I just adore. He was so lovely to talk to.
Andrew is amazing. He has done a lot of research on equine stereotypical behaviour, and he is talking about all sorts of things, but including how crib biters and weavers learn differently, and actually how we can learn from that. So what else did you get from him?
Oh, fascinating. He was he said that the crib biting is a learned behavior, but also has a chemical reaction which helps the horse relax. So potentially we could get horses to stop crib biting. However, crib biting is also seen in all the horses that he did a study with, where the horses are crib biters. They're also exceptionally intelligent, and they have what I would consider a high IQ. Basically, the horses can't have high IQs, but you know what I mean, they're quick to learn.
Yes, but that's really important. And actually, if you've got a horse who's a crib biter, how can that help you when you're trying to teach it things?
Amazing. So yeah, make sure you download that episode and have a listen to Andrew's session. I think you're going to have lots of questions when you listen to what Andrew has to say. So is there any way that people can put forward their questions, George?
Yeah, so the questions, particularly in the afternoon, we will be able to take questions from the social media. So if people want to pop questions up on the various social media platforms that we've got, so we're on Facebook, Twitter, and we've just gone on to Instagram. We're also hopefully going to do some stuff on LinkedIn. So if you're on LinkedIn as well, from a professional point of view, we should be able to take some questions from there as well. But yeah, pop your questions up and we will do our best to take at least one from social media for each of those sessions. So at the end of the horse and ride fitness slot, and then after Andrew's slot as well.
Amazing. And use hashtag NEF19, and then it's easy for everyone to keep track. So after Dr. Andrew Hemmings on equine stereotypic behaviour, you then have your topical slot, which is the lovely Claire Williams from Beta.
Yes, so we've only got one topical slot this year, and it's just a quick 5-minute chance to have a look at the initial findings from the Beta National Equestrian Survey, which is just being done and kind of analysed as we speak. And it will be really interesting because that looks at the number of horses, the number of riders, the annual expenditure on a horse every year, just general costs, and it's a real good kind of benchmarking exercise that happens every 4 to 5 years.
The last survey was in 2015, wasn't it? And it actually helped
Yes.
quite a lot of businesses know how many people were riding, how many men were riding, how many women were riding, the average spend as well, I think, in the market. So I think that would be quite interesting to hear what Claire's results are. And then finally, you have the memorial lecture, which is so lovely. Each year you have the Sir Colin Spedding Award.
Yes.
And last year it was won by Dr. Simon Curtis, who is an incredible farrier. He's one of the only three people in the whole of the world that is a doctor in farriery.
Yes.
Did you know that?
He is absolutely amazing. He is very well worth a listen. He's coming to talk about advances in farriery during his career. And I think you will pick up some very valuable stuff about how to look after your horse's feet. He did win the Sir Colin Spedding Award in 2018. He was a very worthy winner. And it's great to be able to invite him back this year and for him to be able to talk to us about what he's learned.
Brilliant. So you can watch the whole of the forum if you head to the website nationalequineforum.com. You can hear a selection of podcast episodes where I had the pleasure of speaking to some of these incredible guests. If you head to Acast, Spotify, iTunes, all the usual places to download, and also via the National Equine Forum website. Don't forget, if you have any questions that you'd like to put some of the speakers, then on the day, just use the hashtag NEF19 and make sure you tag National Equine Forum. Use hashtag Horse Hour as well so that we can retweet it, because I think we're going to get some good conversations going. And George, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much, Amy, for your support again this year. The podcasts always go down a storm, and it's great to get our speakers kind of talking to people a little bit more informally as well, rather than just their just their presentation. So we really appreciate your support, and thank you to your listeners, and look forward to seeing what happens on the 7th of March.
Thanks, George. I always feel really lucky because the speakers get to speak for 15 minutes on the stand, whilst I get to delve in for about half an hour, so I feel like I get a little bit more.
Yeah, no, it's really good. And a 15-minute slot is actually not that long to talk. So the fact they get to have a chat with you for a bit longer is brilliant. So thank you for your help with it all.
Oh, you're very welcome. Well, best of luck. 7th of March is the day. Make sure you got it in your diary. Whatever you're doing, head to the nationalequineforum.com and watch it. It's going to be great.
Thanks, Amy.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. You can hear every episode of the Horse Hour podcast at the National Equine Forum via our website, horsehour.co.uk, and also via the National Equine Forum website too. Super easy, nationalequineforum.com. So as every speaker gets up on the stand at the NEF this year, you'll be able to hear the podcast episodes where we go in a little bit deeper into what their subjects are. So I hope you enjoy those podcast episodes, and don't forget to get involved in the conversation on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Just use hashtag Horse Hour, hashtag NEF19. If you're listening to this at a later date and you want to listen back to previous episodes, then you can just by hitting subscribe on Acast or iTunes. Each podcast episode directly goes down to your mobile phone. You don't even need to think about it. And as always, I love hearing your journeys and seeing what you're up to with your horse. So keep tagging us at Horse Hour. I'm at Amy Stevenson1 on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you name it, we're on it. And I really hope you're having fun with your horse, enjoying some of the sunshine. It's been really nice lately. Tell me, what have you been up to? I hope you have a great week with your horse, and I'll speak to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.